Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
All right, HPC, how are you guys doing today? Man, great to see you guys. It's always such an honor to be with you here, to be with my South Louisiana family. As many of you know, my wife Carrie and I, we both grew up in Baton Rouge. We're from South Louisiana. And of course, Dino and DeLynn are such good friends of ours. And so, you know, Dino speaks over at our place every year. I speak over here at HPC every year. I love coming over here. And I'm just thankful that Dino always seems to invite me around a great LSU game, where I have the opportunity to take in the game. And I'll tell you, it's really good that I'm here with you guys this morning because, as many of you know, I pastor church, Celebration Church in Jacksonville, Florida. We're less than an hour from the University of Florida in Gainesville. And so I know that a lot of those Gators fans didn't even want to show up at church to face me today. So them knowing that I'm not there, they can go to church, they can work out their issues, and it'll all be better when I go back. But I want to introduce a few people. First of all, my dad's here this morning. And Dad, I just want to honor you, man. Thanks for being here. I have a great dad. He's helped me many ways and continues to help me. Also, Pastor Chris Brooks. Chris is from Louisiana as well. Pastor Chris, stand up. And he's over one of our, we're a multi-site church. And Chris is over one of our largest campuses in Orange Park. Now, many of you, people think that Chris is my bodyguard. He's not my bodyguard. I don't have a bodyguard. Come on, I take care of myself just fine. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's just the way it is with Chris. He's a large man. And so also Matt Adcox. Matt, again, is from Baton Rouge, from South Louisiana. In fact, Matt is our worship pastor, about to be ordained. Stand up, Matt. Many of you know Matt. Now, Matt married Carla Neely, who was on staff here at HPC. And so this is kind of how we get good staff at Celebration Church. I get our sharp young single people to come over here, scope out your sharp young single staff, then they marry them and we bring them back over to Jacksonville. And we've got a great staff. I want to thank all of you. And of course, Pastor Dino and DeLynn. Now, ladies, you know, Live the Dream is coming up in just a few weeks. And I would be remiss if I just need for all of the ladies to say yes. Okay, that is your answer to the question of, are you going to go ahead and register for Live the Dream if you haven't already? So we got you on tape for saying that. And so it's going to be an awesome conference, and everyone is really excited about that. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And I want you to camp there for just a few moments. I'm going to get there in just a second. But before I do, I'd like to kind of read some scriptures to set up what I want to talk to you about today. And I want to do a teaching on a subject that I just think is really, really needed in the body of Christ. And of course, you guys are in a series called God First, and I'm talking to you today, you know, about being a God First church or along those lines. And how many of you know that it's important for the church to be a church of hope and for us to be people of hope, real hope, true hope? And of course, you guys at HPC, you know, your mission statement, a healing place for a hurting world, that very statement implies that you're bringing hope not only to this community, but all over the world. And so look here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. I want to run through some scriptures. It says, Ephesians 4:4, it says, there is one body. I'm going to get to Corinthians 13 in just a minute. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Everybody say hope. So the Bible says that we're called into hope, and that our very calling in Christ is based in hope. Romans 15:13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So our God's described as the God of all hope. He fills us with the Holy Spirit, and it's His will for us not just to have hope, but to abound in hope. That word abound means like it's overflowing from our lives. And when this happens, the Bible says this is the foundation for us to have joy and peace in believing. Many Christians think that we get joy and peace in receiving, when we receive that blessing, when we receive a miracle, when we receive a breakthrough. But God's saying, no, no, no. When you're filled with true hope, you'll have joy and peace in believing, not just in receiving. You will have joy in the process. There's joy in the journey. It goes on to say, Romans chapter 5, verse 4, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So true hope will never disappoint. How many of you know there's so many things in this world that disappoint? So many things in this world are unreliable. But the Bible says that God gives us a hope that will not disappoint. It will never disappoint. And then I think one of my favorite scriptures, a scripture that many of you are familiar with, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want to talk to you today about true hope, and I've entitled this message, Hope Is. Hope Is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray in these next 25 or 30 minutes, God, that you'd give us a hungry heart. Lord, I pray that you would revive your people in hope. God, that we would understand what true hope is and how to abound in that. We thank you that you're the God of hope, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. You know, I think that there's a lack of understanding really in the body of Christ about what true hope is. And I think one of the reasons for that is because in our modern world, in our culture, we use that word hope in a very different way than the Bible describes. The biblical definition of hope is very different from the way that we use the word hope pretty much almost every day in our modern vocabulary. You know, we're thinking, you know, today, you know, we hope that we get to go so-and-so place for lunch. You know, we hope that the Saints will win. We hope that that person that maybe you're sitting next to you today will leave you alone. You're hoping right now that this preacher will not preach too long. And what we do is we use that hope, really, we interchange it with the word wish. It's like, man, we wish we could do that. We wish, you know, we wish this, we wish that. That's a very different way than the Bible uses and defines the word hope. Let me give you a biblical definition of hope. Hope is a confident expectation of what is sure. It is a confident expectation of what is sure or what is absolutely true. So what do we know as believers? Regardless of everything else going on in the world, what is absolutely sure, what is absolutely true? That is the goodness of God and His Word. That means this, you can be absolutely confident when you read in God's Word that all of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. You can take that to the bank. You can be absolutely confident in that surety. When you look into the Word of God and you see that God is for you and that He's not against you, you can be absolutely sure of that truth regardless of what you're experiencing on the outside. When you see that God says, even when we make mistakes, He's going to work all things for the good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose, you can be absolutely sure in that. When you read the Bible and the Bible says, if we truly bring all the tithe, the whole tithe to the Lord and give that into the local church, you can be absolutely sure, even though you're not experiencing now, even though you don't understand how it's going to happen, you can be absolutely sure that He's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on your life. I don't care what the natural looks like. I don't care what your job looks like right now. I don't care what the economy is doing right now. I'm telling you, the Word of God is absolutely sure. It's not a wish. It's sure. When you read in the Bible that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. When you read in the Bible that as he is, so are we in this world. When you read these truths about the goodness of God, that God loves you and he's for you and you're forgiven and that he's got a plan for your life. And you can read that plan in different contexts in the Word about your professional career, your finances, your marriage, your kids. When you read that in the Word of God and you see that goodness and truth of God, that is what hope is based in. That's the foundation of hope. It is a confident expectation that this is sure and true. The unseen, not the seen. And the foundation or the purpose, a person of hope, all of this is based, of course, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the hope of all hopes. Our life is not here. Our true life is not here in this earth, but it's in heaven with him. And one day we'll be in eternity with Jesus forever. And that hope is the foundation of every other hope in our lives. Can I have a good amen to that? So hope is a confident expectation of what is sure. Hope also is, once we get that foundation, now we can kind of expand the definition. Hope is a picture of a preferred future. Now that we have a confident expectation of what is sure, now what the Bible wants us to do, the Bible wants us to take that hope, and God wants to give us a picture of a better life. A picture of a better day. A picture of a preferred future. Hope is a picture of a preferred future that does not diminish with the changing moods or seasons of life. It's not based on this world. It is based on God's unchanging and unconditional love for you. It's not based on what is going on in the natural. It is based on the supernatural power of God and the ability of the grace of God to work in your life, to perfect what he has begun in you, and for you to be everything that God has called you to be. For you to be an overcomer. For you to be free. For you to be full of peace and joy, regardless of the pain that you're experiencing. Hope gives us a picture of a preferred future. That's what hope is. This is where you get all the scriptures in the Bible about, you know, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's talking about hope. That's a picture of a preferred future for your life, for your family, for your finances, for your professional life. For relationships, maybe you've experienced a terrible crisis. It's a picture of a better day, that you're going to come out of that stronger than you were before, that you're going to come out of that better and not bitter, that you're going to come out of that healed and not hurt. It's a picture of a better day. In fact, you know, I want to give you an illustration of this in the natural. Many of you might not know this, but when I was young, in fact, I just got into college, man, I really got into bodybuilding. And I wasn't very muscular or anything like that. And how many of you remember Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day? Anybody remember Arnie back in the day? I mean, I know Arnie now, you know, the political deal has not been too good for Arnie and he's had his issues. But I mean, back in the day, I mean, come on, Arnold, Conan the Barbarian, who remembers Conan? I mean, all those movies where he'd have like one line the entire movie and they'd just like stick like an axe or a gun in his hand so he could flex his massive bicep and he'd just walk around like this. Well, Arnie at that time, he was my bodybuilding hero. So I want you to put a picture. Look at that picture of Schwarzenegger. Hey, look, they don't make them like that anymore. You seen these new school heroes, man? They don't look nothing like that. Also kind of like, have you noticed how all the new school stuff, it's getting soft, man. Like all these shows about vampires, all these vampire series. How many of you remember the old Count Dracula? I mean, they got all these new series about vampires. These vampires, they got a tan, they're wearing Louis Vuitton, sipping the cappuccino, talking about their emotional struggles as the undead. Listen to me, you not sipping a cappuccino with old school Dracula, he gonna eat you. That's why they're able to have all these series and sequels and Highlight and Moonlight and Half Light and Low Light and all the Vampire Diaries, Vampire Neighborhood, Cooking with Vampires. It's all the, I mean, they just, it's a vampire show every night. Let me tell you, back in the old days, Count Dracula, he came out with one movie every 5 years because he ate everybody. You ain't having no sequels, you dead. I'm just an old school hero kind of guy. And so Schwarzenegger, he was my kind of old school hero. So what I did was I put that on my wall. And I got a picture of my preferred future. I looked at Schwarzenegger. I worked out for 2 years with that picture on my wall. Now, many of y'all don't know this. This is the first time I'm going to show this picture. But after 2 years, I entered a bodybuilding contest. I want to show you the picture. Put it up there like that right now. Look at that. Look at that. I was conformed into the image of Arnold. Watch this. Now I'm just kidding with you. That didn't really happen. But watch this. The Bible says that we're to be conformed into the image of Christ. The Bible says that we're to put on the new man created in true righteousness and true holiness. The Bible says that you're an overcomer. The Bible says that as he is, Jesus now, so are we in this world. Spiritually speaking, you need, watch this, you need to look in the Bible at who you are in Christ, and you just put your face right there with what the Bible says, and I'm telling you, you'll be conformed into the image of Christ. Come on, give God a hand. And that's why praise, that's why it's so important when we get down and we're disappointed that we come into an atmosphere of praise and worship. That's the environment. That's the environment. It's the incubator for hope. What does the Bible say? That we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and we're to enter his courts with praise. So watch. Gates speak of a perimeter. It's speaking of the kingdom of God. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. So regardless of what you're experiencing circumstantially, what we do is if we want to let hope begin to arise, we start off with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is expressing gratitude to God for who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. When we do that, we enter his gates. We bring in the kingdom of God into the situation. We bring the reign of Jesus into the situation. And all of a sudden, God's world collides with our world and things begin to change from the inside out. But it doesn't start there. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, but the Bible says then we go on and we enter his courts with praise. See, don't ever stop with thanksgiving. To really get into the good stuff, you got to get in the courts. That's the holy of holies. That's where the presence of God is. You get into his courts with praise. Praise is magnifying God for his character and his attributes. So we thank God for who he is, what he's done. And now we come into his courts and we begin to magnify him according to his character and his attributes. Just like that song that we were singing, Lord, you alone are worthy of all of our praise. God, there's no one like you. There's no one beside you. And we begin to praise God. And then the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And now we come into the presence of God. And now watch this. This is where this all has to do with the picture of a preferred future. Because listen, one touch from God can change your perspective. One touch from God can change your perspective. And so he inhabits the praises of his people. So when the presence of God touches us, the Bible says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. To see, to have a picture of a better day, a picture of God's preferred future for you. First, you've got to taste. The taste comes first. And then the see, when we taste of the Lord, then we can see, then we can have a vision for a better future. Listen, God wants a better future for your life. He wants it better, no matter what is happening in your marriage. I mean, your marriage might just rot right now. It might be horrible. Can I tell you this? There's hope for your marriage. And if you'll get in the presence of God, and if you'll be sure about God's word and his goodness, I'm telling you, there's a better day for your marriage. Your financial situation, you might be bankrupt. You might be thinking, how in the world can this ever turn around? I'll tell you how, because there's hope. And we serve a miracle-working God. And you can be sure God will give you a picture to bless you financially. It is the Lord who gives you power to give to get wealth. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't lose hope. You're single. You're a day. You thought this person was the person that you were supposed to marry, and it just all blew up. Listen, God has someone better for you. See, it only gets better with God. You need to thank God that you didn't marry that person. And you need to praise God for who he is and know that he's got a better person picked out for you. He's got a better day for you. He's got a better spouse for you. He's got a better job for you. He's got a preferred future. Hope is the confident expectation of what is sure. Hope is a picture of the preferred future that God has for your life. And here's what that leads into next. 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. Very common scripture here in the church, in Christianity. These three. Here's what abides: faith, hope, and love. Now, I believe that we have a pretty good understanding about faith. Faith has to do with our vertical relationship with God. I believe we have a pretty good understanding about love. Love is our horizontal relationship with one another. But I believe what we don't really understand is, where does hope fit in? The Bible doesn't say, you know, there's these things, faith and love. The Bible says there's these three things. In other words, these three things work together. And if you don't, they're intertwined. If you don't understand how they work together, you're not going to have an effective relationship with Jesus. There's faith, our vertical relationship with God. There's hope, and then there's love. Love, our horizontal relationship with one another. Hope is what connects faith and love. Here's what hope is. Hope is the sustaining energy for faith and love. It's what gives our faith energy. It's what gives our lives energy. If you have faith, but you don't have hope, you'll have the knowledge, you'll know what you need to do, but you won't have the energy to carry that out. If you have love, but you don't have hope, you'll serve people, but it won't be sincere. It won't be genuine. It'll be more of a have to instead of a want to. You see, hope is the sustaining energy for our lives. It's what connects our faith and our love. It's what makes those things work, where we have energy, where we're excited about God, and we're genuine in our service to one another. Faith, hope, and love. And see, this is why in our society, so many people losing hope. What happens when someone loses hope? You know what happens? They don't think tomorrow can be better. They don't think their lives can ever get better. Some of the places that you guys go into in Africa and Haiti, why it's just so devastating, is you have people there and they have no hope. They don't have a picture of a better day. Personally, you know, in our own world, why do we see people take their lives? Why do people commit suicide? They lose hope. They don't think their lives can get any better, and they don't have the energy to go on. When you lose hope, you lose the picture of a preferred future, and you don't have the energy to go on. And that's why, listen, our world, it tries to suck hope out of people. There's so much pain and disappointment in life. If you don't have that abounding hope that only comes through the supernatural power of God, I'm telling you, you are going to live a life disappointed and without energy. Church, if there's ever to be a people that understand what true hope is and that we're to abound in hope, it is the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is hope itself. He is our hope. And if there's ever a time when the church needs a revival of hope, where we need that energy for our faith and love, where we need to be confident that God has a better day for our lives, it is right now, because we have a great opportunity in this next generation to shine like never before. Look at this scripture in Colossians chapter 1, 3 through 5. It says, "We give thanks to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." Everybody say faith. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints." Everybody say love. Do you see that? Faith. Man, we heard about you guys' vertical relationship with God. That's great. We've heard about your love for all the saints, your service to one another. But look at the catalyst. Look what bonds all that together. He says, "Because of the hope." Everybody say hope. "Because of the hope." See, faith, hope, and love. "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, the confident expectation of what is sure." Do you see that? Man, this church, these people, man, they had faith. Man, these people had incredible love. They were famous. But the reason that they did was because they understood true hope. They had a picture of a better day for their own lives and for the people around them. And they had the energy for that love to sustain. I'm believing, this is my heart, I'm believing that the church of Jesus, that we have a revival of hope in our midst. When the world seems headed in the opposite direction, when everything is down, where everything is getting negative, where everything is becoming so uncertain, I believe that the church should demonstrate the certainty of the Lord Jesus. See, it's hope. The hope, when it works, it lifts your burdens. Hope is the key to contentment. The Bible talks about Abraham. He hoped against hope. Everything was against him, yet he hoped against hope. That means he put the sure hope in God above his circumstance, and he saw God's word, the surety of that, come to pass in his life. Listen, you may have had a dream die. Something terrible may have happened to you. You may have given up. You may think that, you know, my life is just always going to be that way. I'm telling you that God is the God of all hope, and he wants hope to come alive in you today. Listen, you can have a better life. You can have a better marriage. That thing will work out with your kids. God will cause all things to work for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But you have to decide, are you going to have hope? Are you going to have hope? Hope. And the last thing I want to say this, hope is the anchor of the soul. It's the anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6:19, it says, "This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." So let me demonstrate this for you. The Bible talks about that hope, it's the anchor of the soul. There are so many storms in life. How many of you found that the longer you live, the more that life just seems to stack on the pain? How many of you know what I'm talking about? So many disappointments, so many curveballs, so many things go wrong or happen that you just never thought would happen. That's why it's so important to have hope, because it provides an anchor for our soul. So when the storms come, we don't drift away. We're not tossed to and fro. Here's how hope acts. Hope is an anchor of the soul. So what happens when we have true hope, when we understand what that is, we've gotten the surety of God's word and his goodness, we've gotten before God and we've gotten that better picture, man, for our marriage, for our family, for our professional career, for our finances, for our health, we have that better picture and that better day for our lives. We have that. Now we have the energy to carry that out. When the storms and the trials of life hit, that hope also acts as an anchor to our soul. So watch. Here comes a big problem in your family. Here comes a big storm. It might push you over here, but you won't drift away. Then here, oh man, this your business, your finances, man, here comes a big trial. So this storm swings you over here, but Hope is the anchor of your soul. And you know that no matter what you're going through, God is going to bring you to that better day. That this is only temporary. Something happens to your kids, man, you're blown over here. Hope acts as the anchor to your soul. And throughout our walk with God, hope keeps us centered in our relationship with Christ. Even though the winds blow, even though the storms come, and we end up coming into that promise of God, and we see that better day come to pass in our lives. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? Thanksgiving and praise, that's our bridge from our current circumstance to a better day. And hope is the foundation for us to have the energy. It acts as an anchor. Hope is confident expectation, what is sure. Hope is the anchor of our soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, and I just pray right now, Lord, I pray that if there's people here today and maybe they've lost hope, maybe they've lost hope in general, maybe they've just lost hope in a certain area in their lives, God. God, I thank you that you're going to revive hope today. Lord, hope is the confident expectation of coming good. It's the picture of our preferred future. It's the energy that we need to sustain faith and love, and it acts as an anchor to our soul. Hope is, and I want to say hope is for you. It's God's will that you not only have hope, but you abound in hope. How many of you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, real quickly as we conclude today's service, you would just raise your hand and you'd say, Stovall, I've lost hope in an area. I kind of need hope revived in my life for a certain area. I want you to lift those hands high right now. You say, Stovall, I need hope revived, whether it's a marriage, relationship, family, finances, professional career, overcoming a hurt, overcoming a pain, overcoming the past. Raise those hands high. I want to see them. Hands are up all over the place. Wow. You can put them down. How many of you would say, Stovall, I'm far from God today, and I need to receive hope itself that's in the person of Jesus Christ, where all my sins can be forgiven, that I know that my home is in heaven, that I have eternal life. Maybe you've drifted far from God. Maybe you served God at one time, but you need to come back. You need to recommit your life to God. So if you need to surrender your life to God, recommit your life to God, you know who you are. You just need a fresh start with God. I want you right now. I want you to raise a hand as well. Right now, you need a fresh start with God. Lift it high. Yes, 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 yes. Raise it high. I want to see it. I see those hands up in the balcony. Lots of hands, almost every section up there in the balcony. Down here, let me see them. I see these hands over here. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. See that hand there? Thank you, ma'am. See some hands over here? Thank you, sir. See that young man there? Thank you. Hands over there in the back. More hands raised. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand up in the back there as well. Thank you, sir. Come on, church. I'm going to just ask all of us to stand right now. I want to lead us in a closing prayer as we go back into one more song of worship. Just bow your heads. I'm going to pray for us right now. Let's just respond to God. I'm just believing for a revival of hope in our hearts and hope in our lives. We have to have hope, true hope. It's based on what's sure. It gives us the energy. It gives us the picture of a preferred future, and it's an anchor for our souls. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you're the God of all hope, and you want us to abound in hope, God. You want us to have that vision of a better day for our lives. Lord, you want that energy restored. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your hope, God. Right now, if you're one of those people and you raised your hand for a fresh start with God to commit or recommit your life to Jesus, right now in your own words, I just want you to ask Jesus to save you. Tell him you're sorry. Remember 22 years ago in my college dorm room, I got on my knees and I said, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus. Save me. And Jesus came into my life. He became my hope. you need to do that right now, just do that in your own words. Tell Jesus you're sorry. Ask him to save you and be your Lord. And he will do that, and all of your sins are forgiven, and you have eternal life. It's a great day for you. We thank you for that, God. And Father, now I pray for all the people. So many hands went up. People that have lost hope in an area or need a reviving of hope in their lives. Lord, I just pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you come in, that you fill us, God. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we decide right now, Lord, that we are going to put that confident expectation in your goodness and in your word, Lord. God, we thank you that you're the one who said you want us to abound in hope so that we would have joy and peace in believing, not just in receiving, but also in believing, God. Lord, I just pray for that revival of hope. I pray for dreams to come alive again. Lord, I pray for vision to come alive again. God, I pray you give that picture of a better day to each and every person here. Give them that picture that you have for their lives, for their future, Lord. And God, I just thank you for the energy now. God, we're going to pursue you, that energy for faith and love. And Lord, we just give you all the thanks. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, clap your hands.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.